Welcome to the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast. We give all the news, the reviews, and the
rumors
on the PlayStation 5 and its upcoming games. I'm joined by Jordan Taylor. How are you?
Good, mate. Really good. Thanks for doxing me.
I've just revealed his full name for the... This is not the first time I've done that, so don't worry, man. They can go back, and I've mentioned your last name many times before.
Yeah.
But I've just done it again to a wider spread audience.
Luckily, yeah, that's beautiful. That's what we like.
When I dox myself, it's actually just my YouTube name, Dan Allen.
So. Yeah, I know. That's not doxing. That's advertising.
It's advertising. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It's true advertisement. It's purest form. Now, they call you, Jordan, the bouncy boy, the gallivanting man, and the trophy connoisseur. And they call me the survival horror aficionado.
I love that you're introducing yourself. That's good. It's like you walking out to the octagon and push buffering yourself.
You're taking off him. Take the mic off him. Come here, Bruce. I know what I'm doing.
I love it. Your own hype, man. It's beautiful.
Don't forget Bruce. I was going to say Bruce Jenner. Bruce Buffer was the announcer in a little game called Destruction All-Stars.
He was.
You remember that?
I do remember that.
That game fell away quick, didn't it?
That game wasn't as bad as people made it out to be, but I get it. You know what I mean?
Did you end up getting that platinum that I dogged you?
Nah, it was too hard. It was
sorry,
too hard.
Man. I'm sorry.
Too hard in that, like, part of because I couldn't get a game in Australia, the lag I had to deal with when trying to get some of the trophies for, like, kill two cars in one power, whatever, it was too challenging. So never did, but that's all right.
But you did get, I'm looking at your trophies now, Exalted Dash Olympus. Check him out on PSN profiles. Marvel Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, I got that one done. Yep, happy with that one. That was a really fun plat. That was a lot of fun.
The last trophy, visit Aunt May's. Is that a spoiler? Nah, not really.
Nah.
Aunt May's grave. There you go.
Aunt May's vacation spot.
Yeah, I've already gone too far before I.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So that, what a game. Yeah. I reckon I've been thinking, and we don't need to spend too long on Spider-Man 2 because I'm sure we'll do another F when Vikes back as a spoiler cast. I think I actually enjoyed Spider-Man 2 more than Ragnarok.
Wow. There you go.
And like I'm the God of War guy. I enjoyed Spider-Man 2 more. It's just how good Spider-Man 2 is.
Well, it's interesting you say that because the Game of the Year nominees are out from the Game Awards and it was a pretty easy year to predict. I predicted all six, but because at the end of the day, it's done by journalists. They're the ones that put this together or do the voting. So the nominees are Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Marvel Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4, Super Mario Bros. Wonder and The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
And that was for Game of the Year, by the way.
For Game of the Year.
That's for Game of the Year.
Spider-Man 2 was there, and that was the one I was hearing people go, oh, I don't know about that. But I think it's well-deserved in there for me, definitely.
1,000%. It's very well-deserved, I reckon.
If I had to get rid of one, it would be Super Mario Bros. Wonder. I feel like if you take out all mentioning of Mario and replace all avatars with someone else, it would reduce by 10 points on Metacritic and wouldn't be in the conversation. There's a huge bias on Mario by journalists.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. I wonder whether if let's swap and put the characters from Immortals of Avium in Spider-Man, are we going to enjoy Spider-Man as much?
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying with my argument. What I'm trying to say is that Mario, there's a lot of bias. I believe there's a lot of bias around it. And I think I saw it. It had like a 90 meta score or something. I thought it was ridiculous. That's for another day. But especially when there's games like, Dead Space, even though that came out in January, I think that's probably what hurt it, is that it came out so early on that people kind of forgot about it. And there was two survival horror games, Resident Evil 4, Alan Wake 2, that took a lot of the limelight off it. So that was another one that kind of fell away. Hogwarts Legacy didn't get a single nomination. I think we know why.
I think it's deserved that it didn't. I don't think that game let's honestly think about it. Do you think that I don't think that game's in the same echelon as any of the things in the main categories? I don't think it's on that echelon at all.
I wouldn't have put it in the top six, but maybe best action adventure.
I disagree. I really disagree. But again, that's just my opinion. That's just from the way I played it, from what I played of it. Mm. Like I don't think it's up in there, especially when you look at, is it really going to top Alan Wake, Spider-Man, Resident Evil, Star Wars, and Zelda?
Well, I don't know. Would it be in the RPG or would it be in the action adventure? I don't know.
Okay. Even then,
you still think it wouldn't get a
Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 16, Lies of P, Sea of Stars, Starfield. I don't think it's in that. I don't think it's in that echelon.
It just seems weird it didn't get anything. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. But I guess you could make a case that it just misses out on some of these categories.
Yeah. And it came out around the same time as Dead Space, let's not forget. So the same argument could be made.
So you don't think it's about the politics of it?
No.
Okay.
No. Because I think we've seen, even when there is, to a different degree, you know, when we saw, like we've seen Jeff deal with some problematic stuff before. It's definitely not a one-to-one parallel, but all the stuff that happened with Konami and Kojima and stuff, like they've still been covered. And I know it's not the same. Yeah, I reckon I just don't think the game's good enough to be on this stage.
Did it even get on Metacritic? I don't really use this.
I reckon it was like mid-80s, early 80s.
84. That's actually quite higher than I thought for the journalist. But anyway. Yeah, what do you actually think of the Game Awards, Jordan, in general? Do you enjoy the show?
I really enjoy the show, yeah. Like the awards are whatever because it's all opinion at the end of the day. None of this is factual. What I said about Hogwarts End, it's my opinion. Like you're free to agree with it as you want.
Yeah.
So it is at the end of the day, like I never ever get mad at this sort of stuff because it's just like, whatever. Like it's just a whole bunch of people's opinions. There's nothing definitive about it because it's not factual. It's just what it is. Exactly. It's cool to see these things celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
So I really enjoyed it. And of course, I love my favorite part. I'm all about just like looking at new games and looking at new trailers and getting excited about stuff that I won't even play, but I just like new things and I like getting excited about new things, even if they're not for me.
You're 100% right. There's some people getting really nutty about, you know, Final Fantasy not being nominated and as I said, I don't think Mario Wonder should be there, but do you think I'm losing sleep over it? I do not care less.
Yeah, exactly.
At the end of the day, usually the best games get, you know, the awards, really. Like, especially the last few years, I think they've had pretty deserving winners. Elden Ring easily won last year. And then the year before that, what was the year before that? Oh, It Takes Two. And that was one we thought deserved it as well.
That's such a feel-good story, It Takes Two. I love that it won Game of the Year.
And also before that was Last of Us. So the last 3 years, I think they've got it right. 2019 was Sekiro, and do I think that was the right choice? I don't know. I can't remember that year fully. I probably wouldn't
have gone with that. Was Sekiro the year with Fallen Order and Death Stranding and stuff? Was that year?
Yeah. So it was up against
Resident Evil 2.
Resident Evil 2, which I thought should have won, but I guess it's a remake. So,
but it was still up there for nomination. That's the thing. If it's up there for nomination, it can still win. I think it's just the FromSoft effect there where they just are the masters. They're so good.
That was one of those years it could have gone anywhere because there was Control.
It did, yeah. Oh, Control was the other one, yeah.
Super Smash Brothers, Outer Worlds, Death Stranding, Resident Evil 2. So it could have gone either way. There wasn't really a clear winner that year.
Yeah, with the exception of Sekiro, I reckon there was enough there on every game for it to not – there was enough reasons for the game to not win Game of the Year.
But then again, you've got years like 2016 where Overwatch won, where I thought, well, you've got Uncharted 4, Doom, Inside, and Overwatch won. So, you know, I loved Overwatch, but did it deserve to beat those three? You know, so
it certainly had legs.
Yeah.
You know, Blizzard chopped those legs off and hung them out to dry since, but they did have legs.
Again, it was a new IP, so that, you know, that's a tough thing to do. I think this year's a clear winner, as I've championed Baldur's Gate 3. I think it's basically going to run away with a lot of awards, as it did with the recent awards show, the Golden Joysticks, I think it's called.
Yeah.
So it won a bunch of awards there.
Yeah, it ran rampant.
Yeah, so I think you could expect something similar with this. It did get the most nominations with Alan Wake 2, which was good to see. Alan Wake 2 getting a few nods. That's great to see. So you enjoy the show. I enjoy the show too. I particularly like the, as you said, the announcements and the musical acts, like the orchestra. Really love that orchestra every year. Mm-hmm. So there's some really cool stuff there. Like last year, they had Al Pacino, of all people, come out. Poor bastard had to listen to a 10-minute speech from Kratos himself.
How slick did Christopher Judge look last year?
You have to admire him. He's a great actor.
He looked amazing.
He's a great actor. He's just got to shorten up the speeches, but that's all right.
Yeah.
So PlayStation 5 turns 3 years old, Jordan.
Yeah, it turned 3 on the 12th. So we're, funnily enough, 3 days after the anniversary of the PlayStation 5 releasing. What a weird time it was, hey, when it released. We were just coming out in Australia anyway. Life was sort of returning to normal as our pandemic numbers were basically hitting zero here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd gone back to work. Like, I'm a teacher, so learning from home had stopped and we were back to work in the classroom properly. And then PlayStation 5 had come out as we were, like, winding down. I have some really nice memories of starting with the PlayStation 5. What are your memories of it when it first dropped?
I remember having a debate, what am I going to play? Is it going to be Miles, Cold War, or Demon's Souls? They were the three choices for me. And I ended up going with Call of Duty just because of the YouTube situation.
Yep.
And I really enjoyed Cold War at the time. That campaign was great. And then I ended up playing Miles, which was another great game. So it was off to a pretty flying start. And the controller was really great to use, one of the best controllers. We were glowing reviews from us for the controller.
Yeah. Oh, we love the controller.
And
the controller is fantastic.
The feeling of having a new console, there's nothing quite like it, especially those first few weeks. There's just something about it. It's just, you never forget it. Even PS4, I remember it like it was yesterday. Rezogun, I believe, was one of the first games I played.
Yeah, it was. That was one of the first games I really struggled when the PS4 came out. I really struggled to find a game at launch that I liked. I tried out Killzone, didn't like Killzone. I wasn't a massive fan of the Call of Duty that had come out. Was that Ghosts?
Yeah, it was Ghosts. Like it was Ghosts. Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was.
And I wasn't a massive fan of Ghosts when that came out. And I really struggled. And Assassin's Creed Black Flag was the one that I latched onto. And I remember playing until 5 o'clock in the morning and thinking, yes, this is next gen. I'm Anakin Skywalker in a pod racer going, now this is next gen. It was the best. And then Rezogun came along. Rezogun was fantastic. But yeah, I feel like the PlayStation 5, I found it much easier to latch onto games because there were things like Marvel Spider-Man Miles. I think I played Maneater around that time. There was Astro's Playroom.
Did you play the game Contrast, the little indie game?
No, I remember going to Vic's house early on in the life cycle and looking at it. And at the time, that wasn't my thing. It probably would be my thing now if it came out. I'd probably be into it. But at the time, didn't gel with me.
There was also Infamous shortly after, Infamous Second Son, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember how quick that was? That was a very short game.
But it was fun.
Which now, it was very fun. It was very fun.
But it was short, yeah. So this PS5, I was just looking before at how many PS5 games, PS5 only games are there. And if you go into Wiki, there's literally about five, right?
Yeah.
If you count PC games that have gone to PC, if you don't, there's about what, 12?
Yeah, there's something like that. There's a few more than that now with Spider-Man coming out. There's obviously some more on the horizon, but because of PlayStation's strategy to shift putting games on PC as well, that number is quite small.
Here's the list. Astro's Playroom, Demon's Souls,
yep.
Destruction All-Stars, Ratchet & Clank, Rift Apart, Returnal, Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 1, Marvel Spider-Man Remastered, Ghostwire Tokyo, The Last of Us Part 1, Forspoken, Uncharted, Legacy of Thieves, Final Fantasy 16, and Spider-Man 2. That's the list, and it seems very soft, especially when you consider some of these games you can get elsewhere, like Ghostwire is now on Xbox, Returnal's on PC, Ratchet's on PC, Uncharted's on PC. But it is a strong list.
It's a very strong list, and it's also got notable omissions, because you need to think Ragnarok's on there, but you can get it on the PS4.
Yeah.
You've also got, I think these count. You've got Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut. You've got Death Stranding Director's Cut.
Yeah.
So you do have those there as well. Spider-Man Miles, that's on there too. So there are those.
That's not counting it because it's Elden Ring? PS4, but I know what you mean.
I just sort of shifted to think about games that have come out on PS5 as well. So I think of them as
PS5 games. I really do.
Yeah.
But there is a certain crowd that will go, oh, it's still on old gen. So, but I never looked at Ragnarok thinking, oh, this is an old game. Yeah, it's one of the best games there is. Yeah. It's a pretty strong list. There's a couple of, Forspoken and
Destruction
are the oddballs, but everything else is pretty good on the list. And, it's been a nice flow on. It's going to be interesting, though, next year what actually comes. I know we've got Death Stranding 2, Final Fantasy 7 Part 2 Rebirth, and what was the third one coming? Helldivers 2. So they're the three.
And maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe Marvel's Wolverine. So Push Square had a bit of a report this week. There was some speculation that came out of ArtStation's profile, who's a concept artist for Insomniac. And you can't see the link now, but there must have been some mention of Wolverine being slated for 2024. So Jeff Grubb sort of commented on this and speculated that they might be targeting 2024, but he did go on to say it looks like it could get pushed, like the possibility's there, which is always a possibility. But if they're targeting 2024, because this would be the team that worked on Ratchet and Clank, so because the team swap, so the Miles team was a team that did Spider-Man, and then the Ratchet team has obviously done Ratchet and then moving on to do Wolverine currently. Seems feasible that it could happen.
What engine are they using? Does anyone know?
Who knows? I don't know. That's not a question. I can have a look for you. For Wolverine or just in general?
For all their games. Yeah, look that up if you can. But
so Insomniac uses the Insomniac engine version 4.0.
Damn, it's a good engine.
Yeah, it's an in-house engine.
Yeah, it's a very good engine. It does have
some weird facial stuff. That's probably something we didn't mention on Spider-Man. Some of the faces were a little bit weird in Spider-Man.
For the most part, it's pretty good. The way that they streamline everything is incredible. Whoever's overseeing these teams and just the structures they've got going on with the two teams and how well they're all working. I can't imagine this comes out next year, but even 25 is very quick turnaround.
Yeah.
Very impressive. Especially for these days. So,
yeah, it's clear they know the engine really well and just know how to work it and know how to make it do what it needs to do. And they're super efficient. So, it's great.
It's probably, as we've said before, GTA 6 is a big outlier. So, they'll want to stay clear from there. But I can definitely see Wolverine being a Game of the Year contender with their track record. But who knows? I want it to be bloody and gory, and I'm just not sure I'm going to get that. So that might be a bit of a disappointment when that realization comes in. I kind of hope that they have a slider for it or something, just to cater to both parties.
Yeah.
Or fully commit to the blood. But
I think just commit. I reckon just commit.
Oh, no, I want them to commit, but yeah. I'm saying at least give us, if you're going to go soft, at least have an option for both or something.
Yeah. It does need to be gratuitous. Like, don't give us 2005 God of War, but give us the regular level of violence and blood that should be in a game about a guy who has claws that he stabs people with.
Well, you know, it should be R-rated, shouldn't it? You know, Last of Us 2 was R-rated.
There was a bit of talk that it was going to be R-rated, if I remember correctly.
Well, Last of Us 2 was R-rated, and that sold very well. Many games are R-rated, so I'm pretty sure GTA 5 is R-rated.
So it looks like it'll be rated M.
Yeah.
So they're targeting it. They're going for an M rating.
Which is annoying because that's not going to be bloody then. So,
but remember, M isn't – that's M for – that's American M, not our M.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. So I would probably say that comes out here as R.
Most games are. Like what, most games like this
what
are
ratings, R. Yeah. What rating is Mortal Kombat 1?
Well, that's got to be R. GTA 5 was R. Last of Us 2 was rated R. Well, I'm speaking for Australia, but I'm pretty sure it's across the globe. Mortal Kombat's have always been notoriously rated R. So, but what's Spider-Man 2's rating?
That would surely be like PG-13 or something. I'm not familiar with all the American.
Well, it's not something we kind of look at. It's not something you really look at when you're an adult.
As an adult, it
Marvel Spider-Man 2 is 16 plus.
Yeah, and then here, so in Australia, we have G for general, P for parental guidance, M for mature, MA for mature audiences, and then R for restricted. That's what they used to stand for anyway. And M means like 15 and above, and it is M.
So I think to get the R rating, there's usually sex and nudity and that sort of thing involved. So I don't think they'll have that in Wolverine, probably. It'll probably just be violence.
I don't think so. Just violence. But yeah. Just good old-fashioned violence, you know.
I think where it goes from an MA to an R is the gore factor. But that's what I want.
There's like narcotics and stuff as well. That's another thing.
Yeah. But that's what we want, though, the gore in a Wolverine game. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Agreed.
We'll see. Okay, next story. Jordan. PlayStation Portal is in the wild.
It's out in the wild. It is the end of Ed game because there is portals everywhere. You like that one?
How's the reviews been? You've been taking a look at a few and you said it's been pretty positive.
It has been so much more positive than I was anticipating. There are some that are a little bit nasty is probably not the right word, but not as positive. But people are commenting how much it feels like playing with a DualSense, because it is just a DualSense split in half with a big screen in the middle. People have been praising how well it works connectively. A question I did have, which it seems like has been answered, was, is it actually going to play better than on an iPad? And it seems that that's not the case. However, I imagine it would be slightly better than playing on an iPad or your phone, as in terms of the connection that it actually gets and the processing, because that's all it's doing. It's not worrying about other apps. It's not worrying about getting messages, calls like an iPad or an iPhone would be. So I reckon it probably does do a little bit better, but from all accounts, it's doing really well. An obvious knock is the no Bluetooth thing, but it does have a 3.5mm jack for headphones, and there are the proprietary headphones that are coming out as well, like the Pulse Explorer headset and that sort of thing. But it's pretty positive. And the pre-orders just went live in Australia as well. So if you're in Australia listening to this podcast and maybe in other parts of the world as well that didn't get the initial release for the PlayStation Portal, it's got a release date of the 2nd of Feb 2024 to start releasing some other territories. So probably New Zealand in there as well. which is really exciting. So
I ended up getting one, man.
Pre-ordered. Yeah, me too. I've pre-ordered. Yeah.
We're shocking.
I want it though. We're shocking. Like, I really want it.
Yeah, you kind of got me. You got me more interested. Yeah. You kind of sold me on it.
I'm really at the point now where I keep going to do remote play on my iPad, and I'm like, I've got to like connect my controller to my thing again, and then I've got to have somewhere to sit where my iPad's going to sit. As soon as I can have it just in my hands, like the Switch, it's game over. Game over.
Yeah, I'm very, very interested in it. Just to when you don't want to sit in front of the big TV, you kind of want to lay in bed or just chill out and just to have it there.
And there's going to be games that are perfect Portal games.
Like a Sea of Stars type of thing?
Yep. Sea of Stars that was how I got through it so quickly. I didn't even get through it that quickly, but I got through it a lot quicker because I did a lot of remote play through my iPad. A game like Cult of the Lamb, I really want to replay that with all the DLC. I'm saving that now. That's going to be a game I play on the Portal, probably day one, because you're not really going to want to play
Horizon. Like,
as amazing as the tech is going to be, you're not going to want to play Horizon, Spider-Man, a competitive shooter, a competitive multiplayer game that relies on reflexes and having a good connection, like a fighting game. You're going to want to play these games that lend themselves to be played in an environment where latency isn't that much of a problem. Because even when it's working really well, there is going to be those microseconds of latency that you have to factor in.
Yeah. And that can get annoying online. So you don't want to be...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I wouldn't even dream of it. Wouldn't dream of playing an online game.
How have they said the connectivity is? Depends on your Wi-Fi, I'm guessing.
Mileage may vary. Very much will depend on what your Wi-Fi switch is.
Yeah, mine's pretty good, so I don't think I'll have that issue, but...
Yeah, mine's pretty good, and I've been able to stream stuff when I've done my remote play stuff. I've been streaming Netflix to the TV and that sort of thing while playing, and it works fine.
You didn't have hiccups?
A hiccup here or there, but no shutdowns, nothing like
that. What, 5% or less?
Yeah, probably 5% of probably 5% of the experience has been a hiccup, a slowdown.
Yeah.
And it's something like that.
I like the way it looks.
The screen is a really good size.
Yeah, the screen.
It's way bigger than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I like the ease of use, as you said. And yeah, I ended up picking one up. We'll see if I regret it.
Yeah. And in Australia as well, we probably should have mentioned that it came to a retail price of $329, which is a bit of a weird price. But once stuff gets converted from US dollars to Aussie dollars, that's sort of how it works out. So,
which is crazy because it's $200 in the US. That's the difference.
Yeah. It's not like for like though, because you got to remember there. And I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here. I'm pretty sure about this. Their minimum wage is a lot less, and so the money is worth different. So it's never a completely adequate comparison.
Definitely. All right. Next story: PS Plus heavy discounts for Black Friday.
Yeah, this is more of just like a heads up, because PS Plus only really gets discounted twice a year. It's Black Friday.
Black Friday is in a week's time.
Yep. So it's Black Friday and then another time of the year where it gets discounted. So you'll be able to snag 30% off 12-month subscriptions, and then existing subscribers can take 25% off when upgrading their current membership to PS Plus Extra, or 30% off to PS Plus Premium. So I'll probably pick up another 12 months to take me over until next Black Friday.
Yep.
Because you can't argue with that. I don't know exactly what it is in Aussie dollars. I don't even look. I just let it charge it and that's it. But you can't argue with value like that.
Yeah. I think last time I checked, I've got it for 3 years. So I'm good for the moment.
You're all set.
I'm set for the moment. But there'll be a time where I have to make a decision. They usually do Christmas deals as well, right? Like leading up to Christmas, they'll take a few bucks off a few games.
Yeah, they do like 12 deals of Christmas or something like that. I don't know if that's when they do PS Plus. I think that's more just games and they have bigger discounts on games. I can't think of what the other time is.
I think
it's Easter or middle of the year.
If you see Hitman Guys on sale, get that motherfucker. It's one of the best games of all time. The World of Assassination. Good game for on sale.
I'm looking for a discount. I want Cyberpunk under $30 Aussie. That's what I want.
Yeah, Cyberpunk.
So I can get to that Phantom Liberty.
Yep.
Yep.
If you can get maybe Alan Wake 2, they might take a little bit off
Amazon. If you look a bit of an app, I reckon that's an Amazon one. Is that one of those games that's not physical?
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not physical. So that's a digital only one.
It won't be on Amazon, right? No, it won't be. That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. If you can get Alan Wake 2 a little bit off, that it's a good purchase. Diablo 4, I know a lot of people hate on it. There was a skin that was worth more than the game. But if you take out the microtransactions, I think it's a good game. So maybe that one. Keep an eye out on these. Jedi Survivor is another good one if you can get that on sale.
Yep, for sure. Avatar, a few weeks away.
I don't think I'm going to play Avatar, Jordan, so you might have to solo that one.
Really? You're not going to play Avatar?
Nah.
I'm there for it.
It's going to be a solo review. I'll interview you about it.
I'm completely happy to do that.
And you can spoil the absolute shit out of it.
You reckon they should change the name to Avatar Cry?
Hey, if you rave on about it, then I will get it. So you could convince me, but...
So what does it need to do? So if they brought out a Far Cry, would you be playing the next Far Cry? Take the
Far Cry, I would, because Far Cry, they had a good premise about it. You remember the details that came out about it?
Okay, not that one. Okay, let's pretend a regular Far Cry, because this isn't going to have that premise. So let's pretend it's a new Far Cry set in the Himalayas. Well, they've already done that, haven't they? Now that I think about it, that was Far Cry 4.
Anyway, if they did a new Aussie Outback one,
or American Outback, whatever.
If it came out in January or February, yes, but because it's December, no.
Nah. You could play Avatar in January, Dan. Did you think of that? You could do that.
True. Yeah, I'm not writing it off. I'm just probably not going to play it day one like I usually do.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
that'll be a day one pickup for me. I'm really that excited.
Yeah, no, that's great. You're not the only one. And
No, I know.
I think people are sleeping on the potential of the game and the sales potential.
Mm-hmm.
Because the movie's huge. And I don't know how many regular gamers or people will go in and want a present for their kid or whatever and go, Avatar, friendly, not too violent, you know, all these factors come in. So I don't know. I don't think Avatar's not that violent, is it? It's pretty safe.
No, it's not. That's again, coming back to ratings, the first one was M. I assume the second one was an M rating here in Australia.
I can see it doing, 3 or 4 million in
its
first few months easily.
Because even people like me who I don't play Far Cry anymore, I'm getting back in because it's the IP.
Hey, I really enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed it more than the first one.
Yeah, I liked the second one a lot. I think the first one's better, but the second one is still very good.
A couple more stories, Jordan. Sony has delayed 6 live service titles, but remains committed. So
it seems like the running thing at the moment with many studios is that it's either delays or letting go of staff, because it would appear that the COVID bubble has burst and the success that people were seeing during COVID has not dissipated, but the world's returned to normal and reality sort of kicked back in. And that's meant that, you know, money that people thought they were going to make or did make and projections and stuff are a little bit off. And there's also been that shift of, it's the same bubble that burst with microtransactions and battle royales, and now live service is the thing it looks like is getting the next bullet bitten, and that is that not everything needs to be a live service, and it's harder than you think to make them right. And thank goodness, this is fantastic news. Sony bigwig Hiroki Totoki confirmed that it scaled back its ambitions for live service games, they're still going to be coming out. So the 12 that they have in the pipeline are still going to come. However, they've slowed their roll a little bit, and that six of them will not be coming out by March 2026 as they had previously planned. So then we'll see six of them before that time, which is still 3 years, like 2.5 years. It's a long time. But the six will be coming out before then, and six will be coming out sometime after them, if at all.
Do you think we see one of them? Last of Us?
Oh, yeah, Last of Us would be one of those. Are you saying if it comes out after 2026? I don't know.
That's a long time, man.
I reckon they're probably still going to try and get it. They're going to aim to get it out by 2026, which is a silly thing to say. I could also definitely see Last of Us 3 gets announced, a Last of Us 1 and 2 bundle also gets announced and comes with a multiplayer mode, which is a very scaled back understanding and scaled back mode and vision of what they were going to do. But it's just that. But it's tighter and it's quality over quantity as opposed to what they were originally going to do. That's probably a pipe dream. That's what I'd like to see happen.
So six are coming out before March 2026. So that leaves about 2 or so years. And
yeah, 2.5 years.
2.5 years for six live service games to come out, right? And then which another six
would be, yeah, go.
Another six after that. That's a long ass time, man.
It's a long time. Now, we know of some of them. So things like The Last of Us, Concord, Marathon, Fair Games,
Helldivers.
Horizon. You'd assume Destiny 3.
You reckon?
Well, isn't the DLC coming up the last one?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So you would assume that they'd be doing a sequel to Destiny, wouldn't you? Or do you reckon they're going to go on Marathon?
I think they're going to do Marathon.
Maybe that's one of the ones that's been pushed back to 2026 then. Destiny 3.
I reckon, yeah, for sure. Especially because they laid off a bunch of people.
Yeah, you got those sort of games. Makes me think, is Sony Bends one of those titles? Is Sucker Punch's Ghost of Tsushima Legends one of those? Like a Legends standalone mode that's a proper game one of those? Is Corey Barlog's game one of these?
Does anyone have a list? Helldivers, there's one.
Yeah, that's confirmed.
So Concord's basically confirmed as well, would we say?
Yeah,
and Fair Games. So that's 3 out of 6. Then you've got probably
Marathon's meant to come out in 2025.
There's 5 and Horizon. So there's a 6. Unless one of them's MLB.
Well, Sony doesn't even own MLB anymore, do they? Because that releases on Xbox as well.
True. We've also got a rumored Twisted Metal. That could be one. So that leaves only, 4 or 5 left. Out of those 6 that I mentioned, which one do you think has the best chance of going big? Marathon?
Marathon, yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably the best chance.
I don't think Horizon's Monster Hunter game will do that well. I don't think it will.
I don't think it will. I could be completely wrong.
It could go gangbusters with that community, but I don't see it taking off to the stratosphere. That's for sure.
Do you know what I think needs to happen? Change the goalposts for what a live service game means. Don't make it a game that has to last forever. What if you come out and say, hey, we have I know that companies get greedy and this isn't what happens. No one can go out on a high. You always bleed the well till it's dry. What if instead they come out with Horizon, for example, and say, hey, we have 18 months of content, right? So 18 months of like a battle pass or whatever, and that's it. Create a bit of scarcity and let people know like, hey, it's only going to be going on for like this 18 months. Like you'll be able to come back later, but the new content is going to be here for 18 months or 2 years if you want to take it to that thing. So instead of when the player base dwindles and they inevitably have to shut it down and get the bad PR of, oh, a failed live service game that didn't last 2 years, if you're only intending for it to last 2 years, then it's not as bad. Does that make sense? Because mm-hmm. these games happen and they see so much success, but then people move on. It's hard to be a game like World of Warcraft or Destiny and Fortnite and retain a player base that large. Only the gargantuan studios and IP actually have that. But instead, if you change the goalposts, say we've got this for 2 years, we're running it for 2 years, the game's going to be playable and it's still going to be live after that, but it's no new content. It's just for, and it'll just be challenges, this, that sort of thing for players to come back to after, because then by then you've got the next thing ready from another studio ready to go for people to jump onto. And then by the time that one's had its 2 years or 1 year, or if it's still working, you extend it by another year. And then by then you've got the next IP ready for them to jump onto. Does that make sense? Just change it a little bit so that way you're not facing the bad PR of like games like Rumbleverse and, you know, all those sort of games who have a really successful few months and knockout city, but then lose the player base and then have to shut down. Just some food for thought.
And also I think the content roadmap has to be more thought out.
Thought out and realistic.
Realistic and, yeah, they need a decent amount of content though. But also it's tough. You don't want to hold things back, but you kind of have to with a live service. Like you have to have things down the pipeline. Basically every quarter, I feel like, you have to have something substantial every quarter or at least every half of a year. So
yeah. A game that had a really good cadence for its DLC releases was Fallout 4 when it had its Far Harbor and Nuka World and all that sort of stuff, because I reckon that all four of those released within I'd have to quickly look up what the releases were. So it was Far Harbor, Nuka World, some mech one.
It was
even shorter than that. So it was Automatron, came out March 22nd, Wasteland Workshop, April 12th, Far Harbor, May 19th, Contraptions Workshop, June 21st, Vault Tech Workshop, July 26th, and then Nuka World, August 30th.
So you're kept them for half the year, just like that.
Yeah.
Just a nice flow-on effect, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, maybe stretch it out a little bit longer, because at the end of the day, it is a business. You want them coming back to spend more money. You want them in there every day in the ecosystem. But stretch it out a little bit longer and you've got them. Yeah, just food for thought anyway.
Yeah, Destiny's model's an interesting one. They've seen some success on that with big expansions. Then you've got games like Warzone and Fortnite and that have seasons every quarter or so. World of Warcraft is, you know, the expansion model. It's usually one of those two. What consumers are looking for, or you know, typically, that Fallout one that's kind of underrated, that game a little bit. Would you say?
Yeah,
good game.
Yeah, I loved it, and it was my first Fallout game. And before that, I never really got Fallout. Have I told you? I must have mentioned my heartbreaking story about the Fallout DLC. I finished Fallout 4, platinumed it, and was waiting for the next things to come out, and then I had my PlayStation on rest. The power went out, corrupted my PlayStation, and I lost my save file. And the worst bit was, I bought the DLC, and then I was like, I'm not going through this again. And I never got to play it. And I was so excited. I was waiting for them all to come out. So I was waiting for Nuka World, and then it came out.
Wasn't there a leak that it was coming to PS5 or that 4?
Oh, I can't imagine it's coming to PS5 now.
I could have sworn, man, that it was getting a remaster. So you might be able
Maybe it was on the NVIDIA leak. If it did come out again, I would play it again.
Would you do it?
And I don't know if I'd go for the platinum again, but I would definitely play it again. Mainly, I'd almost just mainline it just to get to the DLC, Far Harbor and Nuka World.
All right, last couple of stories. GTA 6. As you heard last week,
guys. We said it, didn't we?
This happens a lot with us, but literally hours later, they sent out a tweet. I mean, they just said it. What did the tweet say? We're revealing a trailer in December. We can't wait, blah, blah, blah. And it had so many views and interactions. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, talk about the most hyped game of all time. Fucking hell.
GTA is just built different.
This game's going to explode, man. Unbelievable. Yeah. I can't wait to see the trailer in early December. The question is it going to be at the Game Awards or not? A lot of speculation now that it is. I still say no, but a lot of people
I reckon they're too big for the Game Awards. Maybe it won't debut at the Game Awards, they might have a secondary thing that happens at the Game Awards. I could see Rockstar big dog it and in the middle of the Game Awards and reveal it. Just be real big dogs.
Wouldn't you be pissed, though, if you were revealing your game and then you've got to compete? You've just realized that Jeff's put GTA 6 next to your reveal?
Yeah. Maybe he doesn't even want GTA there.
Oh, I don't know about that, man. I think he wants it there.
I know you do, but you're going to upset people. Because you're going to upset people if their game's before it, after it. Do you end with it? You have to end with it. You can't start with it. You can't have it in the middle because it's going to completely eclipse everything after.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'll be a standalone thing.
I don't know. I'm very interested. But basically, it had 50 million views on Twitter or something crazy. Basically said early December. They didn't give a date. So they just said early December. The first trailer will reveal. So that's great to hear. We're not far away now. I would say, under a month until we see that trailer. We'll dissect it for sure.
You watch. The trailer will drop tonight. They'll be like, just kidding. Trailer's here.
Oh, man. And also the strike. We were talking about the strike, and the strike ended the same day as well. I couldn't believe it.
The other thing we missed out on was a Cars 2 remake.
I know. God, that's funny.
Don't worry about remaking like the prequel Star Wars trilogy or the sequel trilogy. Give us the remake the fans want, Cars 2. What an injustice that movie is.
Speaking of injustice, WB are going to reveal more about Suicide Squad. By the time you're listening to this, they would have revealed their first sort of in development episode. It's called Suicide Squad Insider.
I was going to say, by the time we do this episode, they'll have delayed it again.
It's going to showcase the development and take us inside. I am the only one in the world keen for the game, and I stand by it. I'm still keen. For one reason, Kevin Conroy, man, the legend himself. And they're not going to let him down. Well, I'm praying they're not anyway, for his last game.
Let's hope they don't.
Yeah. It is Rocksteady. In the back of my mind, I always think about Sefton Hill leaving, who was one of the co-founders.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound good. Let's just say that. That doesn't bode well.
I think this is a disaster.
Stop. Don't say that, man, please. It's a disaster.
I honestly do. I think it's a complete disaster. I think the only way you can fix this, I'm sure they'll prove me wrong. The way I'd want them to fix this.
A year delay, man. A year.
I know. Is it enough? That's my question.
It would have been bug fixing for a year, so...
Bug fixing for a year?
A bit like...
Oh, yeah, games are bug,
a bit
mate.
Like Starfield. And I reckon they probably reworked the melee for sure because that was a big sticking point. Anyway, it's been a pleasure to be with you all on this fine evening. I, this week, am going to be playing a little game called... I don't know, actually. What should I play?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to be playing. So I'm going to be playing MW3 still. I'm not as glowing on it as I was during the beta. I know we had a lot of fun during the beta after that initial weekend. That second weekend, we had a lot of good fun. Not having as much fun now because it's a bit harder to unlock the guns that are towards the end of the unlocks. You've got to play for a while to unlock the MCW, which was a really good gun. I don't really like that the MW2 guns are still in there. I think that's a dumb decision. I really don't like that. Another thing that's irking me, and we talked about this the other night when I played with you, can we ditch the whole You put this attachment on and it gives you three good things, but it increases your recoil, or yeah, clip is smaller.
You hate the negative aspect. Yeah.
I'm just like, keep it for Warzone. I understand why it's there for Warzone, because Warzone's got a bit more of a build aspect to it. But this is just, you're overcomplicating something that didn't need to be complicated. I just think there's too much going on, and I don't think it's actually worth it, because I don't know how different the guns even feel in the end. So you're telling me it's doing these things, but how different is it actually?
I find that 99% of the community just go online to find a good build.
Yeah, and then it's just like, oh, have you seen anything how it's like to unlock flash grenades, you need to unlock something, but to unlock that thing, you need to flash three people?
So yeah, it's like, there's just silly stuff like that.
Silly stuff, yeah. But that's fun enough. The other thing, Dan, which I don't know if this interests you, is I'm actually going to be a bit of a PC dweeb this week, and I was playing it while I was eating my dinner. But Skybound Games has released Invincible Presents Adam Eve, which is a visual novel slash sort of turn-based RPG combat game based on the character Adam Eve from Invincible. And I'm pretty sure it's a prequel, so it happens before the events of the show or the comic series. I'm sure it's set in.
Is it an interactive comic?
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, so you play through it, and then you get to like a stage and you have to battle someone. So I was playing it, I only played about 15 minutes before we started. But yeah, it starts off with Adam Eve, and she's flying, and then she's interacted by, I can't remember the character's name now.
Is it free?
He's like a. It's not. It is free with Prime Gaming.
Ah, okay. But it's $12.
So if you have Amazon Prime Gaming. Yeah, so it's only like $12. But if you've got Amazon Prime, you've got Prime Gaming, and you can claim it for free for the next 6 days. So it seems interesting. I'm a really big Invincible fan, so I'm willing to sort of stick with this and, you know, jump into it every now and then just to finish it. But it's cool to see a character other than Mark Grayson from Invincible get some love, because his story's sort of been told. It's cool to go in and explore some lore and history of characters that don't have as much fleshing out as him in the universe. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to be playing this week.
When's the last time you played a PC game? If we count that as a PC game?
The last time was probably Rome Total War 1. I love that game. Loved Rome.
When did that release? Let's have a look.
2004, maybe.
2004. Oh, actually, you're right. Wow.
Oh, wow. Well, yes. I lie. I did actually play the original MW2 on PC first, because I didn't have a PlayStation 3.
Oh, really?
Like on our family computer.
When you were called MW2. Humphrey. Is that right?
Yeah, back in the day. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to play this week. Yeah, maybe some Modern Warfare 3 multi.
Have you touched zombies at all?
I have, yeah. It's interesting. It's not my cup of tea. It's a bit wacky. But I'll give it another go and see. I've only played about an hour, so I can't fully comment, but it's basically the DMZ mode kind of reworked for zombies. So, and I wasn't a big fan of the DMZ's mode, but this is definitely upgraded from that. All right, Jordan, pleasure to be with you.
Always a pleasure, mate.
Have a lovely week.
You too, dog.
And someone understand what accent I'm doing.
Is it Rafael Nadal?
But Jordan, I will be playing COD, so you hit me up. Oh, no. You know what we need to play? Rocket League. And I'm going to buy that $30 skin.
Oh, my God, dude.
I'm going to download it tonight, all right?
I couldn't believe how flat I was. I was so excited. I'm like, Lightning McQueen, let's go. And then I was like, oh my God. I could hear my wallet cry from the hallway table.
I'm going to cop it. Would you believe that? Nah, I'm not.
I'm not. Jealous.
Nah, I'm not. But I will put those shiny green wheels on and berate you the entire time for not scoring while I just sit back.
Watch me whip, watch me nay-nay. Oh, my God, man.
Well, it's been a pleasure to serve you all. Take care. Ta-ta. See you soon.
Bye-bye. Station.